And that is From God Can Nothing Move Me. And after last week's absence, we're back here in the studio on Rumination Tuesday, July the 25th in the year of our Lord, 2017, with our good friend, Pastor Mark Smith.
Hey, Tom, how you doing? Welcome back.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
I said welcome back.
Yes, I didn't have your mic on.
Oh, that's okay.
Yes, okay. Yeah, in fact, we're going to be cutting out a little early today because we're going to be doing a devotion here at the Synod at 10 o'clock. And then got a whole bunch of things to do. You know, when I go away on a trip, I have one goal, Pastor Smith, and that's to get material for KFUO. You know, on our program and such. And the best one I found was a joke. You want to hear
okay,
the joke?
Sure.
Okay, this is great. Now, this was told to me by one of my cousins who said it's true, a true story. A man found out that his wife was fooling around with a policeman. And so he was pretty angry about it. And then he was driving on the expressway and he was going over the speed limit. And then behind him, he saw police lights. So he really sped up, you know, trying to get away. But the police have really good cars there. And so they pulled him over. And the policeman said, you know, you were going way over the speed limit. He said, yes. And he said, I'm going to have to give you a ticket. And the man said, well, let me make you a deal. If I can tell you a joke that you will laugh at, then you won't give me a ticket. And the policeman looked at him and said, well, okay, we'll try it. And he said, well, I'll tell you the reason I was traveling so fast is because I just found out that my wife is fooling around with a policeman, and I thought it was you, and you were returning her to me.
Oh, boy, Dom.
You're right. He didn't get a ticket. And I got a lot more, but we'll wait till Wes comes on.
Oh, boy. I'll tell you.
From God Can Nothing Move Me is the title of the hymn. Is that true?
That's right.
There's nothing that can move me from God?
That's right. The only when you feel far away, it's you that's moved.
Okay. I could see if it said, nothing will God move from me. But this says, from God can nothing move me.
One of the attributes of God is he's faithful. He will not deny himself. He says, I will never leave thee, never forsake thee. Remember that?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Even when we sin.
Right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's good. So.
You mean I actually have one over you this morning, Tom? I can't believe
it.
Great one. I can't believe it.
I just got back. It's going to take me a while.
You're not in your rare form, huh?
No, not yet. First stanza.
Okay. From God can nothing move me. He will not step aside, but gently will reprove me and be my constant guide. He stretches out his hand in evening and in morning, my life with grace adorning. Wherever I may stand.
And this was a hymn not written by Martin Luther, but by a man who died in 1598, Ludwig Helmbold.
Ludwig, yes.
I've never heard of him.
Let's see, he sounds pretty German, doesn't he?
Well, yes. particularly, one of the stanza three we're going to look at, was translated by Gregory Wismar, who was a classmate of mine.
Yes, I remember that, right.
Because he had done another hymn that they had put in here. So, you were correct when you said, when it says that from God can nothing move me, right away it starts with God. He will not step aside.
That's right.
But gently will reprove me and be my constant guide.
If there's any movement.
Yeah, one of the things I'm doing in the sermon is making a point today that many of us, especially our old Adam, are theologians of self-glory, and we try and decide Jesus' attitude towards us by our experience. And I used a child. I say, you can go to a four-year-old child and say, is there ever a time when your parents don't love you? And they will almost all of them say, yes, when they punish me. And yet here in the verse, it says, but gently will reprove me.
Gently will reprove me, right?
Yeah. You see, that's what we need to learn, that even when we're disciplined by God, which, by the way, the word comes from disciple.
Right.
That he does it to reprove me and help us to stay on the straight track, and especially first use of the law, which is the government's use, you know, in keeping us in check. And be my constant guide. That's third use of the law.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
But the law is our guide to Christian living.
Exactly. The third use has no motivation. It just has information.
Right.
Like somebody says, what should I do in this circumstance? Do you get that asked a lot as a pastor?
Yeah, I've had people ask me. I've even had people ask me, should I take this job and relocate? Even things like, yeah, I know.
Exactly. That was one that was asked me about 3 months ago. And I said, I have no idea.
Yes, I know. You're very non-directive when it comes to things like that.
If I can't find a Bible verse, who am I to tell him what to do? Where this happens mainly, though, is in critical health situations.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Should we turn off, you know, the machines, this sort of thing? And there we use the distinction between passive and active euthanasia, where passive is okay, active is not. So it still has to deal with a lot of what the doctors say.
You want to explain that? Passive and inactive?
Well, passive means...
People are going to ask what you mean by it. In fact, they may even want you to tell them what euthanasia is.
Yeah, euthanasia is from the Greek, meaning good death.
And mercy killing, basically.
No, good death. For example, passive would not be mercy killing. You just take off. Like, for instance, if all the brain waves are dead, they're not coming back to consciousness.
Right, right.
And so when you remove the machines, you let God take over.
That's right.
And you are passive. But if you give them a poison, a shot, that's active.
Absolutely.
And that's murder.
Right.
You've been hearing about the little boy in England.
Yes.
And they were trying to... They just ruled the parents today.
I thought it was yesterday. The parents decided not to fight it anymore.
Because the American doctor said it was too late.
Too late, huh?
Yeah. They could have helped them had the British allowed them to fly out of the country to get to the United States, but they waited too long.
It's too bad.
Yeah. That's...
It's always sad, especially when it involves kids, you know, little kids.
Right. And what's the government telling parents whether or not they can take their kid for care? I've never heard anything so crazy. Well, anyway, stanza two. When those whom I regarded as trustworthy and sure have long from me departed, God's grace shall still endure. He rescues me from sin and breaks the chains that bind me. I leave death's fear behind me. His peace I have within. That really describes the life of Jesus.
Yes.
You know, where he regarded people as trustworthy and sure, and yet they long departed from him.
Right. They all scattered and left him.
Yeah, all the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. And even those who followed him were following for the wrong reason, like the feeding of the 5,000. They want to make him
a bread king.
Very good. Yeah, excellent. Boy, you're really on today. You must have had a lot of sleep or something.
I did. I slept really well last night.
Yes, I can tell. And it's interesting in that context, he rescues me from sin. The word used in the Bible is redeem. He redeems me from sin.
Yeah.
And what does redeem mean?
Bought us back.
Yes. It was for a slave.
In fact, he's done that for all people. for
That's
all
right.
people, even the unbelievers, even the people that finally reject him, have been redeemed. They just
yes.
don't believe it.
Yesterday, I was in a adult instruction class, and I asked the question, you know, the Bible says we're free from bondage. And I asked them, from what were we under bondage? And the first answer they gave was sin. I said, no, because lions sin when they eat people, but nothing happens to the lion. I mean, he's not going to hell. And the point I was trying to get across is the bondage we're freed from, and Paul is really clear on that, is the law. The law, in the day that you sin.
In the day that you eat of the fruit of the tree thereof, you shall surely die.
Yes, that's the bondage every one of us are under. And we're freed from that because Jesus took upon himself as our substitute that punishment.
Yeah, we're free from eternal death.
Yes. Now, unfortunately, when Paul talks about that I'm free from the law, there are churches that say, well, that means we don't have to obey the commandments anymore, like
yeah,
homosexuality.
So what do you say to that?
You have to look at the context that Paul is talking about, because in the very same book that he says we're free from the law, he's chiding, for example, the Romans or the Corinthians for the sins that they're doing.
Right.
Yeah, so free from the law doesn't mean free from God wanting us to obey the law. It means freedom from the bondage of the law puts us under a curse, and that curse we're free from. It's kind of like if you give somebody a hammer, the purpose of the hammer is to put maybe nails in a wall, but if they use it to hit somebody on the head, then they're misusing. And that's what happens in every religion in the world. They misuse the law and see it as a path to heaven, a ladder to heaven. And Christianity is the only one that recognizes the real purpose of the law is SOS.
Save us from our sins.
Yeah, show our sins.
Show our sins. Show us our sins.
Exactly.
And then save us.
And that's the second use of the law. So we get all three. Stanza 3.
The Lord my life arranges, who can his work destroy? In his good time he changes all sorrow into joy. So let me then be still, my body, soul, and spirit, his tender care inherit according to his will.
So that's kind of comforting to know there's nothing happening in our life that he's not arranging. It doesn't mean he's predetermining it. But for example,
our marriage is made in heaven. How about that?
Our marriage is made in
our
heaven?
Our marriage is made in heaven.
What would you mean by that?
As he picked somebody for you, predetermined that. I'm just asking the question.
Yeah, I don't.
He's giving us a lot of freedom. And he blesses. Though we may make the wrong choice, he can still bless that marriage.
Yeah, I don't know about, I'd have to think on that, because you got widows who've lost two or three husbands and been remarried.
Right.
Is that because they chose the wrong one first?
No.
Yeah, I'm not.
I'm not saying I really believe that. I'm just asking a question, because a lot of people wonder that. Is the marriage made in heaven? Is it all ready?
Has
he chosen somebody for you in particular?
Predetermined? That's a good question. He certainly did for Hosea.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, because he uses that as an example, the prostitute, namely referring to Israel and how God remarries her and this sort of thing. I definitely think he chooses, you know, those who are going to be saved. But to come to the conclusion, what if you're engaged and you're, you know, wife is killed in an accident 2 weeks before.
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean he didn't want you to marry her? Or
no, not necessarily.
Yeah, I think you have options there. And it'd be very hard for a person to decide who he chose. You know?
Right.
Yeah, so things are predetermined. I think what makes the marriage in heaven is because when they do the marriage ceremony, you're dealing with three people.
Right.
Not two. What are the three?
Well, the husband, the wife, and the Lord of both.
Exactly. Jesus. So if two atheists get married, is that a marriage in heaven? I don't think so.
No.
Because Christ isn't there. And see, what happens when somebody marries an evil person and they've been manipulated into it because maybe one of them wanted the money of the other? I don't know if I'd want to say that's whom God chose.
And yet, if we're already married, let's say we're already married to someone, an
yes.
unbeliever, and yet the other partner comes to faith.
That's right.
We're not to leave that spouse.
No, no, no. Even if they don't come to faith.
That's right.
According to Paul. Yes, because, in fact, and he said this enough times, there's that former Jew who's now pastor on Clayton Road.
Yes, Kevin Parvee.
Very good. Have you heard his story that he married a Lutheran, but he did not change?
Right.
And they had kind of agreed not to talk too much about religion. It was his children.
That's right. Yes.
That brought him to faith.
Yeah.
So, boy, that's something. That's a great story. And
it is.
He said it a
number
of times.
He's now a pastor.
Yeah, and a good pastor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you ever attended his church?
I've been to his church. I've been to it. I haven't attended it.
Yeah,
service.
I went to one of the
I
services.
I went to his wedding, a wedding of his daughter.
Oh, really?
Very interesting, yes.
Yes. Stanza four.
Each day at his good pleasure, God's gracious will is done. He sent his greatest treasure in Jesus Christ, his Son. He every gift imparts, the bread of earth and heaven are by his kindness given. Praise him with thankful hearts.
And the comfort, remember, every goal of preaching or teaching the Christian faith is to give comfort. And so each day at his good pleasure, God's gracious will is done. I would ask the congregation, when was God's gracious will done to you? And the point I'd be trying to make is if you were able to wake up and get out of bed and stand up, you don't deserve that. Yeah, the ability. Look how many people can't walk anymore.
Right.
And this kind of thing. So God's gracious will means he's allowing his good pleasure to come even to those who don't deserve it. And so remember, the rain comes on the wicked.
The wicked as well as the...
Yes.
His rain is on the just as well as the unjust.
Exactly. Right. And that's because he sent his greatest treasure in Jesus Christ, his Son. And... you can't have a Christian hymn without focusing on Jesus. And this isn't the first time in the hymn it's mentioned. I'll do five. Praise God with acclamation and in his gifts rejoice. Each day finds its vocation responding to his voice. Soon years on earth are past, but time we spend expressing the love of God brings blessing that will forever last. Okay, what is this? Each day find its vocation. What's vocation?
Calling.
Yeah, so give an example of your vocation.
My vocation is I'm a pastor.
And?
And I'm also a father and a husband.
Right.
And an American citizen.
And a son.
Son, right.
Yeah. And a member of Peace Lutheran Church.
Prince of Peace Lutheran
Church. Excuse me. Prince of Peace Lutheran. And a vocation is where God calls you. And in each vocation, you have different responsibilities.
That's
and
right.
Different authority.
You wear many different hats.
Yes. Like as a pastor in a church, if I see kids fooling around, I still can't deal with them as I would deal if it was my own children.
That is true.
No, I can't look at them and say, okay, no television for you tonight. And their parents come up and say, we don't even own a television. So. Yeah, I had a good friend who was a pastor. Never had a television in his house.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
And I said to him, number one, it's kind of entertaining occasionally, but also it gives you a lot of sermon material. Well, listening to the news and movies and
Fox
things
news,
like that.
Absolutely.
All right, six.
Yet even though I suffer the world's unpleasantness, and though the days grow rougher and bring me great distress, that day of bliss divine, which knows no end or measure, and Christ, who is my pleasure, forever shall be mine.
That forever doesn't begin after we die. It's occurring right now.
Already with our baptism.
Yeah, that's a really good point. From baptism on.
Our eternal life begins with our baptism.
That's right. And a lot of people don't realize they're already in the eternal life.
Right.
Because the difference between life and death, when Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, he's talking about because of his relationship to him through faith. And those who don't have that relationship are still dead in sin.
That's right. A lot of people out there that are that way.
Seven, for thus the Father willed it, who fashioned us from clay, and his own Son fulfilled it and brought eternal day. The Spirit now has come to us, true faith has given. He leads us home to heaven. Oh, praise the three in one. And there's a triangle before that.
That's a doxological verse.
Which means
we stand for that.
People stand for that. In fact, the first hymn that I've chosen for this Sunday at Trinity Orchard Farm is Stand Up for Jesus. And what bugs me is everybody keeps sitting. So I'm going to announce we're going to stand up for the next hymn. Stand up for Jesus. Are you preaching this Sunday?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, every Sunday.
Yeah.
I've preached every Sunday since last October.
And what are you preaching on, do you know?
It'll be the pearl.
Okay.
The parables of the treasure in the field and the pearl, right?
Okay. And we'll be back next Tuesday. We're going to be cutting out right now simply because I have to preach at 10 o'clock over here. So thanks very much, Pastor Mark Smith. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.